This is the MF Cashflow Podcast with Mike Fisher. We pull back the curtain of real estate investing and share the secrets to building the life of financial freedom you've always dreamed of.
Hey guys, Mike Fisher, MF Cashflow. Today I got in the house Damon Fish. Now guys, I didn't even tell him this, but I seen the initials and his email. He is a DMFer, man. So, welcome to the show, you DMFer.
I'm just happy to be here today.
Damon has 17 years experience being an attorney. His background is real estate attorney. He's been a paralegal before he was an attorney. I met this guy through my girlfriend, Marissa, and we had a couple beers together. We actually had wine, and he had a few beers, and I kept on twisting him for another glass. And his wife, he had a, you know. Anyway, guys, he was talking about deconversion of condos. And I'm like, what? I've always heard of the conversion part, but the deconversion of it is really interesting. And I'm like, dude, you got to tell me more. We got to learn more. And I was just like, explain to me, because my wheels are going in one direction, and then you got to like stop it and then undo everything that you just done from a conversion to a deconversion. So there's a lot to this, guys, and a lot of legal stuff, and Damon has it nailed. I mean, like, you have any questions afterwards, I want you to reach out to Damon. He's going to give you his contact info in a little bit. But Damon, thank you so much for your time here and your patience, man, with the internet and with the call and everything. Tell me, what is, in a very broad stroke, for the people that don't know what is a deconversion?
Well, Mike, in a nutshell, a deconversion is where the owners of condominiums decide to sell off the whole condominium property and basically to a buyer who wants to run them as apartments. So like you said, you've heard of apartments converting to condominiums. But in the current real estate market where rentals have become so big and so important that the people leasing out apartments have decided there's not enough apartment space for them, so they're buying up condominium buildings and deconverting them from owned units back to rented apartments. And there's a big process involved in doing that.
That sounds very overwhelming. And the one thing that comes to my mind is like, reverse, you know?
Exactly. Well, so the first thing is that it is. And part of the, and it's very overwhelming for people who own a condo who think, I own this house, how could you make me sell my condo? Because that's what happens, is that there are people out there who actually could own their condo and find out that their building is deconverting. And if it gets voted on to deconvert, you may not want to move and you may not want to sell your condo because you think it's a good investment and you get forced to move anyway. And there's not much that you can do about it.
Wow. So, wow. You have no rights in this at all. And no, there's no rights at all at zero. Like, you literally can get kicked out of your own damn place.
Yeah. And I think it's important to kind of understand, most of us people who buy a condo, we're just trying to buy a house to live in and it's affordable and you don't have to mow the lawn. You know, you don't have to take care of anything. You just go home and sit on your couch and watch TV and you own your little condo. But yeah. I think it's important because most people don't really think about the legal and technical issues related to owning a condo.
So does HOA have any say so in this? Or because HOAs are super strong, as you know.
Right.
I know you've dealt with them as well, or still do deal with them, but more so in the past. So where does an HOA play in this?
The HOA is oftentimes the spark to start the deconversion. And you got to remember, the HOA is run by volunteers of the unit owners that are sitting on the board. And if they get wind of the fact that they might be able to sell their units for a good price, if they can just talk everybody else into selling, they often are the ones who are pushing the deconversion to the rest of the unit.
Wow, man. That's just, mind-blowing to the nth degree. The HOAs are such assholes to begin with. from my own little experience of owning three in Scottsdale, that they give me hell because, I've got a doing short-term Airbnb out of it. And they're like, you can't do that. So, just finding loopholes through that. And man, they really want to make your life miserable. But then here they are, they jump on the other side of it and they're going to stick it up your ass and tell you, look, you don't have a choice now. Like, you don't have a choice no matter what.
You have some choice. Okay. So under the statute, and this is all under an Illinois statute, and I'm only going to discuss how it works in Illinois. I haven't researched it in the other states, but in Illinois, there's a section of the Condo Act, section 15. And it's two very short paragraphs, and it's in the entirety of the guidance you have on how this works. And under that act, and I'm going to talk generally for condos over four units, okay? If 75% of the unit owners vote to sell off the association, then the other 25% who are against it, that's when you lose your choice. Wow. So it goes to the issue that I often tell people when I represent them when they purchase a condo or a townhouse or anything with a homeowners association, I always advise them, I know you don't want to do it, but try to get on your association board. Yeah. That's the only way, or at the very least, go to all the meetings, know what's going on.
Because
if you don't, you are at the mercy of those board members and doing kind of what they want to do.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, it's God. I'm stressed out, man, and just hearing this, but I don't think I'll ever go through it. But I didn't, you do real estate closings as well. Is this something that you explain to people? Like, hey, this could happen, a deconversion.
No, I don't think anybody's ever explained to anybody at a closing that you are subject to Section 15 of the Condo Act. If we went through as attorneys and explained every possible right that you might have when you buy a house or a condo, you'd be paying tens of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees for us to tell you every possible thing, because it would take us a whole week to explain to you everything that you might need to know.
That's true. Yeah.
But it is laid out pretty clear in the Condo Act. And unfortunately, we're all subject to knowing what the laws are. And as you've probably often heard many times, is ignorance is no defense to the law. So just because you don't know what the law is doesn't mean you're not bound by it. The good news is that Chicago just recently passed an ordinance that in Chicago, they increased the minimum vote to 85%. And that's because there's been so many deconversions in Chicago lately. Wow. It's been a really hot market. For the commercial real estate market right now, so much so that Chicago actually changed the ordinance.
Obviously Chicago is probably really difficult to even answer this question, Damon. But is there kind of a what? I don't even know if you would have the answer to it because you're not on it, but maybe you are. Like, is there? What do you see as far as cost wise goes? Not as legal fees, but at cost-wise, is the deconversion. Is this something that the cost is pretty minimal, or is there a lot? Is it more like legal stuff that has to happen? And how long does it take to do something like a four unit?
So let's say you're on the other side. You're in, say, hey, I've never heard of this deconversion. I'd like to deconvert some condos and turn them into apartments. You're talking about four units or less. You can still force the other unit owners into doing it if you buy out the majority of the units.
So, unit, it's kind of difficult at the 80%. Yeah. You're kind of fucked. So you got
right. So a four flat, you can't do it on. That's what they really screwed people on in Chicago is really by making it 85%, it's really got to be 100%.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when we were talking about the fact that you can't do anything about it, once again, going back to getting on the board and kind of directing things, you can amend your, every association can amend their own declaration. And most of the, most declarations do have a provision in there about selling the entire property. Most of them comply with the Illinois statute at 75%, but some of them change it. Some of them are at 100%. So if your declaration says 100%, then everybody needs to say, we all want out of this. We all want to sell the property. 100% of us are voting for it. So that's one way as a unit owner, you could protect yourself, is get the board to say, we never want to do this. Let's change our declaration so that they're 100%. But you know how hard it is to get an entire association to change something.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I do know, but I don't have the time to even be a part.
Obviously, if you buy up a whole building, let's go back to the 4 flat or less in Chicago. If you buy up all the units, you can do whatever you want. You own them all.
Yeah.
So you know. So now we're talking about. But if you had a 4 flat, say in in Naperville or Aurora or Rockford or someplace like that, where, you know, you still might be able to find a 4 flat or a 3 flat. Then you're still back to 75%. If it's 3, I believe it's 66%. And I believe if it's 2, that I'd have to go back and look at 2. I'd have to check the statute out real quick. But they've got lower standards for 2 and 3 unit building.
Okay.
So if you wanted to force, you know, if you found a 3 flat you liked, and there's somebody that owns the third unit and you've got 2, you can force them to sell. And you can force them. Not only that, you can form your own LLC and force them to sell to you. So you can see, you know, how this could affect people. And it's what you got to think about it as is that the associations are basically what we call quasi-government. They're not really the government, but you've contractually agreed when you buy your condo that you will follow the rules of the association. And so then the board of directors is placed just like any corporation. In fact, most associations are not-for-profit corporations. So when you're buying that condo, even though you have a deed to real property, what you've really bought in your legal description is the legal description of the entire association with your unit attached to it. So what you're really buying is that portion on the condominium declaration that says what's your percentage of ownership of the common areas. That's your percentage of ownership in the corporation, which means that that's really your shares in the corporation, and that's your vote. Oh. And if the corporation decides to sell all of its assets, and you're kind of against that, it's just like any other corporation that wants to sell all its assets, the majority wins at over 75%. So with that said, you got to sometimes, you know, we don't really think about this too much, but when we're buying condos, but these days, because this deconversion market has become so trendy, and there are a lot of commercial brokers out there that are specializing in finding deconversion buildings, you know, that would be suitable to either buy out or to talk the unit owners into buying out. And also, they've got to be good opportunities for a buyer to say, this would be a great place for us to have an apartment building.
Yeah, man, you are very knowledgeable on this, man. Like, I'm blown away by everything that you're saying. I'm like, I could ask 5 more questions that lead to 5 more questions, but like, we'll just keep this simple. And, you know, anybody that wants to get in touch with you, they can certainly pick your brain on this. This is like mind boggling to me. And I'm overthinking. I probably am. I'm just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the best way that I can describe this, when we drive our car, we go pretty much always forward, right? Like, very rarely are we going in reverse. So it's kind of like when we're driving our car, we're driving our car forward. Now we're going to go in reverse and undo what we just did. So it's just like, wow, how do we undo this? But a lot of times they were built as condos too. So I'm thinking more of like the conversion from apartments to condos versus going the other way around. So I'm adding other parts to this that probably are not necessary.
I actually worked with so I've worked in the various aspects of this. I've represented unit owners who didn't want to sell. And I've also represented associations who are selling. And at least one of them that I worked on was originally an apartment building that converted to condo, and then that deconverted back to apartment building. So if you think about that, the market is so hot for apartments right now. The rental market's going crazy. At some point, particularly if you consider the housing shortage that we're experiencing, that we're further expecting, especially in startup homes in affordable housing, we've got a real housing shortage. At some point, when the millennials really start buying up property, they're not going to want rental properties anymore. They're going to want a condo. They're going to want to own something.
Right.
And all these deconversions, they're going to be all set just to convert right back to condo. They'll have rented those properties out for 10, 15 years, and they'll say, hey, let's sell them off again. They'll convert them right back to condo.
I'm just guessing here, Damon, but do the tenants actually have more rights as being a tenant? I think they have more rights than somebody that's living in a condo. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it depends on what you are talking about with rights. As far as being kicked out of your unit, you have you're very stable under the terms of the lease. So if you've got a lease for 2 years, anybody who buys your unit is stuck with your lease for 2 years.
Right.
That would even happen if, then this could have, consider this. If I am a buyer trying to deconvert a building and one of the units is owned by, one of the units has a tenant in it, it's being leased.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow the association didn't have controls on the leases and they had a 2-year lease and it just got signed before all this happened.
Mm.
The new buyer has to take that condo subject to the 2-year lease.
Right.
So even though the owner's getting kicked out, the tenant still gets to stay there for the term of his lease. So, in a lot of respects, the tenant does have stronger rights during the term of his lease. Now, once the lease is up, you don't have any rights anymore.
Yeah.
But as long as you've got that contractual obligation by the owner, and they're bound by the terms of that contract.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving pieces here, man. A lot of moving pieces, that's for sure. So Damon, tell me, like, being an investor on my side, like, you know, maybe I already have, maybe I have 2 units in a 10-unit building. So, you know, I do have some say-so here. You mentioned going to the meetings. Maybe there's other investors there in the meeting. I know myself, I went to one of the HOA meetings in Scottsdale. I don't know the rules there. I'm kind of curious now after talking to you. And it's a much larger complex. I think there's like 89 or something units there. But it was interesting to find out how many owners are actually there. What percentage? I think there was it was shocking, like 75%, I think, or something. I have to go back and look. Of the people that are the owners are actually renting out their place. So I don't know if they're going to benefit from it, but from that standpoint, but they're going to benefit from it from a standpoint of no HOA sticking it up their ass anymore, telling them what they got to do. So there's that. But then what if somebody says, hey, I want to, an investor says, I want to buy this 10-unit building and, deconvert it. We've already talked about, with the tenant being in place, that could be an issue, right? So let's touch a little bit about, on both of them a little bit. The deconversion of you, if you already are an owner out there, going out there and petitioning, what are the steps that you would take? I would imagine first, it's like what I've mentioned is find out how many owners are actually renting out there. What other steps would you take?
Well, if I was, let's let's talk about if you're an investor and you want to buy, you've identified an association, let's call it a, you know, 20 unit association. And you okay. say that would be a great, I would love to own that building as a whole and just rent out all the units. And you want to buy all the units, but not everybody wants to sell. Some people really like their condo. They don't want to move.
Right.
So the first thing you got to do is you've got to, you don't have to acquire all the units, right?
Right.
You could, at first, obviously at some point you're going to have to buy all 20 units. What you would do is if you don't, in fact, you don't even have to buy any of the units at first, but that would be your business strategy. Do I buy a couple units that are for sale and get my foot in the door and start this process? Or do I just go in and make the offer and see if everybody wants to sell? So that would be a business decision you'd have to make. But if you were, if you had your foot in the door, it's a lot easier. You can kind of see if, you can kind of see if, you know, there's other people who are looking to sell. And the nice thing is, you know, someone like you, Mike, who like likes to go in and buy condos and rent them out or Airbnb them, you might say, hey, I've already got one or two in here. This has been a great business. I'd love to have the whole building.
Yeah.
You could put together a contract, and I'm generalizing here. There's a lot more steps you would take, but we're going to fast forward to the basics here. You would put together a contract, submit it to the association board, and they would make a decision on whether or not that contract is a good contract to buy out all the units. So if it's 20, and let's just do some simple math here because I want to make it easy. If you got 20 units, let's say they're all worth 200,000 times 20, then you'd want to submit an offer for $4 million. Now, if you have two units already, obviously you don't have to buy your own units. You already owe them. So that's 400,000 out. So maybe your offer is, you know, $360,000 or $3.6 million. And then the association, if they're interested, would present that offer to the entire association. And then you would still, let's say you own two units out of the 20, you would still have two votes. So you already know you got two votes. You got 10% of the votes.
Right.
Now you only need 65% of the rest of the vote of the owners to say, hey, that's a good price. I didn't think I could get 200 for this. I'm ready to sell.
Yeah.
And then you could sell, you could force the vote. And if 15 out of the 20 want to sell, it's yours. And now you can now, and what some of the buyers are doing, which is also nice, is because some people want to sell, but they don't necessarily want to leave. So some of the people who you force the sale to want to rent from you afterwards because they don't actually want to leave their home, but they'd like to sell it.
Yeah.
So you actually may have another, you know, 15 to 20% of the unit owners wanting to stay with already built in rental income with an expect, of course you would set the expectation of rental as part of the sale agreement.
Right.
A lot of the buyers give them sweetheart deals for the first year to encourage them to stay.
Right.
Because so obviously once they
cash flow.
Yeah. Get the cash flow going, right? That's the whole name of your game. So that's what you could do. You know, as a buyer, you'd want, especially if you owned a couple of units, you'd have access already to all the association financials and budgets, and most importantly, what are their reserves? Mm. You know, does the association have enough money to pay for the legal fees to go through the whole process of selling all the units and representing everybody and doing the work? Mm. And not only that, but once you buy up all the units, you also oftentimes are entitled to the remainder of the reserves.
Oh, wow.
Right? So you get those reserves sitting in that building, which you can use then to update the building, do remodeling and the units that are necessary.
Okay.
There's a reason why all these people are buying up the condos to deconvert them. They wouldn't be doing it if they weren't making money with this.
Yeah. That's awesome stuff, man. Wow, I really, really like this. And I would imagine like there's got to be, you know, some brokers that probably are even, you know, privy to this too, that real estate brokers that are privy to this, that, you know, that can help investors specifically for this, you know, like this is definitely a niche. And it's, man, it's, I just never even thought about it. I know I was just asked, recently within the last couple of months to do some property management on a building that had 8 condos. And I'll tell you what, like that place is a freaking mess. It's a shit show. And every person in that is an owner in that building, is upset. Even if I think there's only, 2 units that are owner occupied, the rest are non-owner occupied. And the other ones that are not, even the ones that are owned, the people showed up, everybody there is upset. Now I can think of is like, that would be a great opportunity to go in there. Everybody's all pissed off. Yeah. The HOA has no money. They're broke. Got all this work that needs to be done to the building. And now they're like, now what are we going to do? You know, like we're at a standstill. Well, shit, go in there and buy them out, get them the hell out of there, you know, yeah. And deconvert them and turn into that monthly cash flow going on in there. And why not? It just makes sense. And I like the idea, like now, you know, like, hey, maybe the 2 of the 8 still want to stay and they're going to stay there for, you know, $1,400 a month.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you got instant cash flow on that thing. Now you can just build from there. And maybe those other, who knows how many of those other ones that are already renting that they want to stay, but you know, you're buying their lease. They're renting. So literally you, if they're in there renting already, you've already taken on that lease and now you've got cash flow on that one too. So, I mean, in that case there, you could have 4 to 6 in that 8 unit building. You could have 4 to 6 people maybe even stay, which is fantastic. You know, it seems like a no brainer, really. It's just wrapping my brain around it.
The other nice thing is for somebody who's, you know, just getting started in buying investment property, let's say your dream is to own an 8 unit apartment building, or you want to get to apartment building at some point. You don't have the money to put down, you know, $4 million on an apartment building and you don't want to borrow the money, but you could afford one of the units. Well, you can buy one unit, see how it works.
Yeah.
If you're making cash flow on that unit, another one comes available, buy the next unit.
Yeah.
Now you get cash flow coming from 2. You can slowly work your way into owning the whole building.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you only need there's always people that want to sell in the building and maybe they don't have a buyer. They don't want to. The other advantage as an investor that you're providing to that seller is you are required to give a market, you know, fair market value. And I could go on, there's some details in the act that basically force buyers to pay fair market value for the property.
Yeah.
So you can't come in there with a low ball offer that's not fair market value and expect you're going to do very well.
Right.
But
right.
What you can do is you can go in with this, you know, you're going to give them a fair market value, but keep in mind, all those sellers, when they get that good price from you, there's no real estate commission that's being paid out when they get that good price. So they're getting 6% value or 5 to 6% increased value on the sale.
Right.
Not only that, but most of the time, the association that does their job right also negotiates much lower title fees from the title company because it's a bulk sale.
Yeah.
So the one I'm doing one right now where we're doing 56 sales, a 56 unit building, and we're doing all the 56 sales out of this. We've negotiated their attorney fees and title fees would normally be about $3,000. They're paying about half that to sell their unit, plus no commissions. They're about $200,000 a piece. So if you take, let's say they got a sweetheart deal and they got a 5% commission, right? So that's $10,000 more they're getting for the unit, plus another $15,000. They're getting $11,500 more for the unit and fair market value by getting sold from a deconversion. And that's what makes it enticing to a lot of, you're like, well, why would anybody do this? Yeah. Well, because they're getting fair market value plus no commissions and much lower title fees and much lower attorney fees.
That's exciting stuff, man. That is, wow. Guys, if you find value in this, hit Damon up, man. At least like this video, comment on it. More than anything, like if you want to learn more, give Damon a call, shoot him an email. Damon, how does somebody get in touch with you?
You can, we are at www.fish.law, and that's spelled F as in Frank, I, S as in Sam, C as in cat, H.law. Nothing else. There's no .com or anything at that. Just www.fish.law.
All right, man. Awesome. Awesome. Dude, I appreciate your help on this, man, and just breaking it down. There's so much more to it. I know there is, and just this is just enough to wet the whistle here, man, and to get going. This is awesome stuff, man. And thank you so much for sharing it. It's just, I'm looking to learn more from it. And now it's just another tool to pull out and say, hey, I got this too. So guys, if you're an investor out there and you're looking for, you know, deals, and a lot of people are like, hey, Mike, there's no deals out there. There's no deals out there. I hear it all the time. There's no deals out there. Bullshit. Be creative. What, this is a creative tool right here that can get you an 8-unit, what Damon's talking about, a 50-plus unit building. I mean, this just got to be creative. Think outside the box, guys. And hey, guys, remember, live fully, love openly, and make a difference. Damon, thank you so much, brother.
Learn more at mfcashflow.com and follow Mike on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.